We are not the same. The playing ground is not Lemusa. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that proclamational truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Our eyes see the goodness of God. Our hands are handling His mercy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I prophesy supernatural speed. I prophesy supernatural restoration. I prophesy supernatural opportunities. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In this second half of the year, your faith is strengthened. Your hands are strengthened. Your feet are strengthened. There are wings on your feet. Where others walk, you are flying. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Jehovah has given you speed. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but for the remaining 6 months of this year, Jehovah has given you speed. In the name of Jesus, shouts of joy and victory, shouts of joy and rejoicing, dwell and abide in your tabernacle. In the name of the Lord Jesus, because for you the Lord's right hand doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Amen. What are expectations for the remaining part of this year? Listen, 2020 is not wasted. When God spoke to us in Genesis, at January, He was aware that something like COVID-19 was going to come. Meaning nothing affects His word. The Bible says the word of the Lord is not chained. The word He spoke, the situation in the world is not enough to hold it bound. Hallelujah. And I want you to hold God at His word. The next 6 hours, I perceive so strongly in my spirit that the Lord is working mightily. He's working out mightily His words concerning us from this July to December. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that strengthens my faith, and it should strengthen yours, is the understanding that everything that God has given you, the greatest thing. That God has already given me the greatest thing. That God has already given you the greatest thing. He gave you Himself. Hallelujah. It means every other thing. You know why that strengthens my faith? Every other thing I will want or need is inferior to what He has already given to me. That means there's no need for anxiety. There's no need for worries. There's no need for that thinking of uncertainty. There's no need to fret. He has given me the greatest thing. He has given you the greatest thing. He gave you Himself. Every other thing you will ever need or want is encapsulated, is involved, is inside what He has given to you, Himself. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He said, God who spared not His Son, right, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That means since He has given His Son to us, every other thing is in His Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's nothing, that means there's no reason for you to worry and be anxious. He has given you the greatest thing. Can you rejoice at the greatest thing He has given you? Are you excited at the greatest thing He has given you? No, imagine waking up in the morning and say, Father, thank you for giving me Yourself. Everything I need is in You and I'm receiving them. Glory to God. Something will happen to your faith. And really, that's what faith is in the New Testament. In the New Testament, faith is possessing what you already have. That sounds ironical, right? Faith is possessing what you already have. Faith is going to the ATM and withdrawing the money that is yours. You see, you cannot appear at an ATM machine and put in a card if there is no money in your account. But you see, as long as you are not at the ATM, let's just assume you need cash. As long as you are not at the ATM with the card, you cannot access the cash that is yours. The money is already in your account. Oh, the Bible says, every promise that God made to our fathers, He has fulfilled in that He raised Jesus from the dead. Acts chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. That means the resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. is the fulfillment of that blood sworn promise. He fulfilled in that he raised Jesus from the dead. So our faith in the New Testament is like going to the ATM machine to put in your card and withdraw what is already in your account. If there's no money in your account, the machine cannot bring out anything. True or false? Hallelujah. That means you can receive because God has made a deposit. Oh, hallelujah. Are you guys here this morning? I said we can receive because God has already made a deposit. Glory to God. All right, we start a new teaching series today. We call it a shout. Woo! The shout of a king and the victory of saints. Hallelujah. The shout of a king and the victory of saints. Numbers chapter 23, verse 21 to 23. Numbers 23. Very quickly. Numbers 23, 21 to 23. The shout of a king. The shout of a king and the victory of saints. Listen, you know, I was saying something just a little while before introducing the series, that everything we need has been provided in Christ. That's the truth. You know, we preached a series that was, I did a teaching 2 or 3 years ago, Arise and Gather, for the price has been paid, or something like that. Arise and Gather, for the price has been paid. If you have not listened to it, go and listen to it. The Bible says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him, on the line with him, freely give us, how many things? Talk to me, church, how many things? All things. But you see, the giving of all things is with him. Is with him. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. The giving of all things is with him. Glory to God. Now, if he has given us all things, or if he gives us all things freely with him, how do we access them? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 tells us, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of God. It says, according as his promise, verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. My goodness. That means the knowledge. And the knowledge is revelation knowledge. That means the knowledge of him is the key to having multiplied grace and peace. That means the knowledge of him is the key to accessing every precious promise that has been given. The knowledge of him. So you will not joke with the knowledge of God. You know, people ask, all this preaching that Christ has done all, how come I don't have it? The knowledge of him is a revelation knowledge gap. Have it together. Everything that the believer has in Christ, everything that God has provided through the sacrifice of Jesus for the believer across every facet of life, the gap between what the believer is enjoying now and what he is not enjoying yet that has been provided is a revelation knowledge gap. Glory to God. This is why you have to pay attention to the teaching of the word. This is why you have to pay attention. You have to be deliberate. Are you aware that as believers, our assignment, our job, what we live on earth is summarized in two things. Number one, to know him. Number two, to make him known. That is the summary. The summary of the believer's life on the earth is to know him and to make him known. So when we break down everything, what keeps us on the earth? Why has God not taken us to heaven? You've been born again, some of you for a decade, some of you for 2 decades. Why are we stood here? To know him and to make him known. So the knowledge of God is important. And in that knowing him is the unveiling of what is ours. And in that knowing him is the taking possession of what is ours. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 verse 32, he said, I commend you to God, right? And to the word of his grace. I deposit you to his word, which is able to do what? To build you up and to do what? And to give you an inheritance. And to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. So when you think about your life on earth, think about 2 things. To know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. And then that knowledge of him is your possession of your inheritance. Glory to God forevermore. Are you guys here this morning? Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. This is why the teaching of God's word is important. This is why the hearing of faith is important. This is why fellowship with the Holy Spirit is important. Hallelujah. This is why the ministry of the word is important. God is not known outside of his word. It's playing by itself or something. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right, the shout of a king and the victory of saints. Numbers 23. Listen, I'll be teaching this first service, second service today, first service, second service next week Sunday. I want you to open your heart and receive. This is how grace is multiplied to you. This is the primary way grace is multiplied to you. He says, through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowledge multiplies grace. Revelation knowledge multiplies grace. And God has anointed me to bring the light of his word to you. Hallelujah. Can you pay attention? Coming to church on Sunday morning for midweek service is not to fulfill religious ritual. No. It's to collide with the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to partake in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pay attention. Let your whole heart be open. Almost everybody here went to school. How comes at the end of the semester, some will pass the course, others will fail? What is the difference? If most times everybody attended the lectures, everybody heard the lecturer. What was the difference? Attention. What was the difference? Understanding. One had an A, another one had an F. They were in the same class. They listened to the same person. What was the difference? Attention and a craving for understanding. This must be your posture every time you come to church. Every time you listen to a message in your car, in your laptop, on your phone. There must be a passion for understanding. And there must be a decision to pay attention. David told his son Solomon, he says, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Attend to my word. The price is attention. In fact, in that attention, understanding will come to you. Hallelujah. Can you attend to God's word today? There's an eagerness. You don't receive, listen, when you have a posture, even when I listen to myself, do you know I don't listen to myself? You know, I listen to my tapes too. Amen. I listen to my messages. And every preacher should do that. And if you see me, you think I'm listening to someone else. When I'm making declarations, you see my hands lifted and receiving. Amen. I receive. Because the me listening to the message is different from the me preaching. I have learned to receive the me preaching. Glory to God. And this is what you have to learn as you relate with the anointed. Hallelujah. There must be an eagerness to receive. There must be an eagerness to hear what is being taught, what is being said. There must be an eagerness. There's something I tell you, I call it the voice behind the voice. How many of you remember that? That means every time your pastor is preaching, there's a voice behind his voice. And that is the voice you must hear. But listen, if you are relaxed and just sitting down and not hungry and responding to the word, you can't get it. You know what it means? It means even when I'm just talking casually, not even on the pulpit, you should pay attention. That's the posture to receive. Listen, the pastoral ministry, the pastor is like a nursing mother. The child doesn't need to fast and pray for the meal to come. All that is needed, there are doctors in the house. All that is needed, they call it, is it a suckling reflex or something? All that is needed is for that baby to put his mouth on the breast. And the milk will begin to flow. All things being equal. Is that true? That's who a pastor is. There's an embodiment of wisdom and knowledge. He says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That means when I come, even with sleepy eyes, and I'm saying, okay, in Romans chapter 8 verse this, the Bible says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You say, you are free from... Even if with sleepy eyes I'm saying it, or I'm walking but I'm talking, if you pay attention, the milk will flow to you. This is what most of God's people don't know. Meaning you don't need your pastor to be doing gym. For wisdom to flow to you. For understanding to flow to you. For knowledge to flow to you. For the anointing to flow to you. All you need is to be positioned. The child knows that the moment I can put my mouth there, the milk will flow. He knows. Are you listening? This must be the posture of your mind. What did Paul say? He says, when I came to you, I did not come with the excellency of speech, with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He says, but my speech and my preaching. My speech and my preaching. He separated the two. What is speech? Speech in the Greek is lalia. It means to talk. How are you doing now? Good to see you. This your shirt is nice. You are looking blessed today. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Are you guys catching me? You are still looking cold with what I'm saying. He says, my speech, my lalia. This is how to receive from the anointed. My speech and my preaching. That means when I'm preaching, the power flows. When I'm just talking, the power flows. He says, my speech and my preaching were in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Glory to God. I have received testimonies from many people of things I can't remember talking seriously. I was just talking. And they received. I was just talking. And wisdom flowed to them. I was just talking. And they received insight. I was just talking. And they received the wisdom for their relationship. I was just talking. And a new idea for the business dropped. Why? It comes with the office. It comes with the college. Glory to God. What are the names of the footballers now? Ronaldo. See, Ronaldo doesn't need to fast and pray to manifest. He just needs a little exercise. Why? His configuration is football. My configuration is to bring the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? The shout of the king. The shout of a king is in their midst. All right, so let's get into God's order. Numbers. Are you ready to receive now? All right, Numbers 23:21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Underline it in your Bible. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. I'm going to underline everything there, but pay attention. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. He did not say Israel did not commit iniquity, neither did they commit perverseness. No, he says he has not beheld it. He did not see it. Oh God, he did not see it. He did not behold it. Now, this was the background story, was when the children of Israel camped in the wilderness. And they were getting close to the kingdom of Moab. And the prince of Moab called Balak employed a prophet called Balaam to curse the children of Israel. That's the background story. From Numbers 22, you're going to see that. And then this man came, being paid or being given a promise of honor by the prince of Moab, Balak, to curse the children of Israel. He was the one who declared this. Who declared this? By the word of prophecy. Glory to God. He says, for the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Psalm 89 verse 15. Okay, hold on. Let's, you know what we'll do? Let's pick it from verse 20 and read to 23. Your life is about to change. He said, behold, I have received commandment to bless. I have received commandment to bless. He has blessed and it cannot be reversed. He said, I cannot reverse it. And then the next verse talks about how that the reason for the blessing is that God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Next verse, we are taking to 23. He said, God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an ox, the strength of an unicorn. Glory to God. Next verse. Surely there's no enchantment against Israel. There's no enchantment against Glory Zone. Neither is that divination against Dr. Caris. According to this time, it shall be said of Israel and of Jacob what God had wrought. Psalm 89. Marco Patosa. Psalm 89. Verse 15 to 17. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Next verse. Morabakapa. In thy name shall they rejoice. How long? All thee. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Next verse. Next verse, next verse. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Go to verse 9, verse 18. Continue. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Next verse. Morabakato soshotoko paraba. Marabakaposa. Next verse, verse 19. He said, then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One, to Dr. Caris and to Glory Zone, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Amen. You know, just reading this portion of scripture alone, I am blessed. I am blessed. Glory to God. The shout of the king is in our midst. Hallelujah. See, the hand of the Lord will rest upon someone in this service, in the second service, and as we teach this series, in the name of the Lord Jesus, suddenly there will be visions of enlargement. Suddenly there will be visions of expansion, in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy to someone sitting here, someone watching me online, that every lead, every limitation that the experiences of the past has placed upon your mind and upon your life, I stand in the name of Jesus. I stand in the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I command those limitations removed. I command those leaves removed. In the name of Jesus. Step into enlargement. Step into expansion. Step into the takeover anointing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Sit, 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 sit. The Lord our God is with us. And the shout of a king is in our midst. Listen, Christians are not beggars. Listen, Christians, you see, it's important to understand the vision of the believer that God has on his mind. When you see the vision that God has on his mind, you will rise to the level. And that's what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is seeing stuff from God's perspective and rising up to the new level. That's what spiritual growth is, in summary. God's vision for a believer is not a poor, wretched weakling waiting to escape to heaven. That is not God's picture of the believer. No, 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 1,000 times no. What I just described now is the picture that Christian religion has painted. But that is not the vision of God. God has a vision for the believer. God has a vision, meaning pictures in his mind concerning the believer. And it's not a weak, beggarly, wretched weakling waiting to escape to heaven. No. In the mind of God, he sees a believer as a person who is to operate in kingly dominion on the earth. That's what God sees. And he has made provision for that reality. That's what God sees. It's important as you hear the word of God taught like this, as you sojourn with God through the hearing of faith, through teaching of the word of faith, teaching of the word of God like this, and you pay attention, you rise to the vision that God has in his mind concerning you. And that vision is a man and a woman of authority, a man and a woman who is walking in kingly dominion, a man and a woman who is walking in all-round victory, all-round dominion. Listen, there's truly a surety to the victory and the dominion of the believer on the earth. There's a certainty to it. God planned it and we are to walk in it. There's a vision on his mind. There's a vision on his mind. A Christian is not to carry placards and say, well, we are here to talk to the government. You know, we, the poor masses, are suffering. You, the poor masses, how did you get there? How did you get there? How did you get involved in the poor masses? Like a preacher says, if you put their whole mass together, you are weightier than them because you have eternal life. That's not the picture of the believer. A believer is not someone who is hopeless because of the decisions of those in power. No, sir. Judas Iscariot was stealing the money. When Jesus needed money, he got it from the mouth of the fish. Meaning the decision and the limitation and the actions of a man did not place limitation on the Christ. That's what that means. That means that politicians are stealing money doesn't mean you should be poor. That the leaders of the nation where you live are not walking in the wisdom of God and making things difficult does not mean you should partake of it. Your connection is different. Your wiring is different. Your source is different. You are plugged into another economy. You are plugged into another system. You are plugged into another life. That's the picture that God has on his mind. Rivers in the desert. That's the picture that God has on his mind. Water out of the rock. That's the picture that God has on his mind. Succeeding in impossible places. Subduing every economic climate and living beyond them. That's the picture God has on his mind. Looking at your possibilities in the eye and say, be thou possible. That's the picture God has on his mind. Glory to God. And by revelation, we are rising to that picture. We are coming up hither. Like the angel of the Lord told John. He said, come up hither. That's what happens. When the word of God illuminates your mind, illuminates your spirit, you ascend in the spirit. You ascend. You come up hither to the vision that God has on his mind concerning you. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? Now, there is a skill, according to scriptures, required for a believer to walk in that kingly dominion. Remember I said, walking in that kingly dominion, meaning you are getting God's perspective and you are rising to the vision that he has on his mind. But see, there's a skill. There's a skill. And Hebrews 5 describes this as being skillful in the word of righteousness. That's where I'm going. He calls it a skill. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. You can put it up. He calls it a skill. He said, he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look at this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He did not say he that uses milk is ignorant of the word of righteousness. He said he is unskillful. Not ignorant. He is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What is skill? Skill simply means to use the knowledge you have effectively in order to produce results. That's what skill is. It means the use of your knowledge effectively and precisely for performance. Are you listening to me? That means the revelation of righteousness. Listen. The revelation of righteousness, which is at the root of our victory and dominion, is not just a head knowledge. It must be a knowledge that imparts skill to your spirit man, to your mind, and to your operation on the earth. Are you following me? Remember, he calls it the skill, being skillful in the word of righteousness. I'm going somewhere. He calls it being skillful in the word or in the doctrine of righteousness. That means the revelation of righteousness was not designed to be a head knowledge. No, it was designed to impart a skill that will produce an outcome in a believer's life. I'm going somewhere. Follow me. Why was the shout of the king in their midst? Why were they walking with the strength of a white ox? He had not beheld iniquity. He had not seen perverseness. Are you here this morning? He had not beheld iniquity. He had not seen perverseness. At the root of reigning. Now, what is Romans 5 verse 17 say? He said, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Shall reign in life. He connects kinging in life, reigning in life, to receiving abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You see that again? That means at the root of the dominion of the believer is that skill in the word of righteousness. Are you getting it? So righteousness is not just something you know someone, you might say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know. Are you using it to produce results? Is it causing you to reign? Are you walking in kingly dominion on the earth? If you are, to what measure? That means the measure of your kingly dominion on earth is a revelation of your skill in the word of righteousness. Did you get that? The measure of your kingly dominion on the earth as a believer, the measure of your walk in dominion, in power, in victory on the earth, is a revelation of your skill in the word of righteousness, of your skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? There are two figures from the Old Testament who embodies the revelation of what Christ came to do. And by the way, we have said this many times, and we can't say it enough, that the core of Scripture is Christ and His redemptive work. Amen. Have you heard us say that before? If you have not heard us say that before, you are hearing it now. The core of Scripture is Christ and His redemptive work. That means the power of God is only released. The power of God for salvation, the power of God for healing, the power of God for dominion, the power of God to bring victory over sin is only released when Christ is seen in Scriptures. When Christ is seen in the law and the prophets. When Christ and His redemptive work are seen. Because that is the core of Scripture. You know, the Jewish rabbi will tell you that studying Scripture or looking at Scripture is like climbing a mountain. You can climb from different sides. You can climb from the management side. You can climb from the leadership side. You can climb from a scientific side. Glory to God. You can climb from social work side. Glory to God. And many people all through the ages have seen wisdom from the Bible that they use to produce earthly results. But see, those wisdom never produce saving power. Glory to God. But see, to get to the summit of that mountain, you must see Christ and His redemptive work. Are you with me? You must see Christ and His redemptive work. There are too many, Romans chapter 4, you can put it up. There are two people that embodied the revelation of Christ and what He came to do in the Old Testament. There were other people, but these two people stood out. Father Abraham and King David. Amen. Connell preached a message many years ago. You should go and get. He said, what David saw, what Abraham found, and what David saw. Go and look for that message. Amen. Go and look for that message. I can't explain a lot of it now. Now, these two men embodied a revelation of the revelation of what Christ came to do. If you read from verse 1, he said, what shall we say then that Abraham our father has found? As pertaining to the flesh, that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh had found. Next verse. Just as fast as possible. For if Abraham were justified by works, has something to glory of, but not before God. Next verse. He said, for what's here the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, where is he quoting from? Where is it referencing? Genesis chapter 15, right? When God told Abraham, come out of your tent. Abraham was angry with God. He was dissatisfied. Lord, you are doing me kalo. How about now? I have followed you. He said, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Now, it was God that began the conversation. He said, Abraham, fear not. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, God, let's settle this in once and for all. I've been hearing nice things from you. Have you forgotten that I don't have a child? And this Eliezer of Damascus will be the heir of my house. Hi! And God told him, come out of your tent. He said, come out of your tent and look toward heaven. And the Bible says, he told him, if you can count the stars, in the original or literal translation, it means if you can recount the stars. Amen. And the Bible says, God told him, he says, so shall your seed be. Seed as of one, yes, not of. So if he was counting the stars, If what he was doing was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 100, 1,000, God would have said, so shall your seeds in plural be. But God says, so shall your seed be, singular. Follow me. Even in the Genesis 15. And then when you get to Galatians 3, he confirmed it. That God told him about the seed as of one, not seed as of many. He said, so shall your seed be, which is Christ. Are you listening to me? Amen. That means God used the constellations to preach to him. God used the constellation to paint the picture of his seed, which is Christ, to him. He saw it in the heavens. Don't forget that Abraham was from all the Chaldeans. And if you know anything about people from there, they were astrologers. They were stargazers. They understood how to read the heavens, how to read the signs of the heavens. Is somebody with me this morning? The Bible says, God in diverse manners at sundry times spoke to our fathers in time past. Glory to God. But in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. That means God used the language that they understood at different dispensations to speak to them. If Abraham came from Ur, the Chaldeans, which was predominantly they were predominantly astrologers, stargazers. They worshipped the constellations, planetary bodies. They understood those signs. That means God used it to speak to him. And the Bible says he saw his seed. He saw his seed. He saw Christ in that story of the stars. And he believed God. And what happened? The Bible says it was accounted, it was credited to him for righteousness. That means Abraham was the pioneer of the righteousness of faith. Are you following me? It was accounted to him for righteousness. So he appears there. And then when you read down, he says, David also describing the blessedness of a man. Unto him God will not impute sin. Go down to verse 6. Hi. I have time this morning. Are you guys with me? This is it, oh. There's a range of skill set. If you don't have it, there's a limitation to your reigning. And this is a skill. The doctrine of righteousness. He said, even David also describes the blessedness of the man. Now, you cannot describe what you have not seen. That means there was something David saw. You will agree with me that the man David was an enigma in the Old Testament. He was a prophet in the Old Testament who had a glimpse into the New Testament and began to partake here and there of New Testament things. Even, you know, Abraham was the same thing. That Genesis 14, when Melchizedek appeared to him, that was a New Testament experience. And by the way, Abraham was not in the Old Testament. He's just in the Old Testament portion of Scripture. Glory to God. The Old Covenant began with Moses. Really. Amen. So, you see, Abraham partaking of experiences of the New Covenant. He met Melchizedek. The Bible says he brought forth bread and wine. He brought forth the communion element. What did God say about Jesus? He said, thou I have sworn and I can't reverse it. For thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That was the man Abraham met. And he gave the tithe of all to him. It wasn't Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, not to Aaron. If had Aaron paid tithe in Abraham, glory to God. Glory to God. Tithing is not New Testament in any way. Tithing is a law of the kingdom of God. As far as the operations of men on the earth is concerned. Are you listening? Don't forget that the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant. Bread and wine. Bread and wine. The same thing that Jesus brought forth. And said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of your sin. And gave to, that was what Melchizedek brought up and gave to Abraham and served Abraham. And in return, Abraham gave tithe to the high priest. And God said, the Christ that we believe in the New Testament came from that order. And you are telling me tithing is Old Testament. Glory to God. He's connected to dominion. Let me not. Hi. You know, when you read the Hebrew text there in Genesis. 10 times God, the Bible says, and God said, and God said, and God said in the creation. The 10 times, the Bible says, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion. That means the dominion is in the tenth part, is in the tithe. Show me a ministry that has a global voice that does not believe in tithing. Show me one. They don't exist. The dominion is in the titan. Jesus healed 10 leper. One came back. That's the tithe. Glory to God. Are you here? Let me go back to where I was talking about Abraham and David. Portraying a revelation of what Jesus came to do. I need you to follow me. He said, David described, and then he quoted from Psalm 32. David described the blessedness of a man. You can put it up now. He described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. David described, he was in the Old Testament. He saw a glimpse of the New Testament. He wished he partook of it. He tried, but he couldn't. He was stretched, but the shackles of the Old Testament held his legs back. So he saw the blessedness of the man unto whom God will impute, will credit righteousness without works. How could God credit right? This Bible I'm reading, look at this. God imputes righteousness without works. Pause. Righteousness without works. I thought Christian religion told us that righteousness if it works. He said, David described the blessedness of a man unto whom, oh my goodness, it's truly a blessedness. It's truly, what a blessing. You didn't do anything, but righteousness was imputed to you. Look at this. Unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. The person did not work, righteousness was imputed. Next verse. Oh my goodness. Next verse. Remember I told you, the degree to which you reign in life is connected to your skill, your level of skill in the word of righteousness. Next verse. He says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. He saw the blessedness of the forgiveness of sin. Whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Next verse. Blessed, this is a higher realm. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not credit sin. Hi. Say, my sins are forgiven. Shout it out, my sins are forgiven. Shout it louder, my sins are forgiven. And I am the righteousness of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, this was what David saw. He saw the blessedness of a man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's talking about the atonement. And then he saw the blessed man to whom God will not impute sin. That is the new creation in Christ. Are you listening? So you will notice that the Bible refers to Abraham as father. That means every time you see the Christ, you see his works, you get to experience the fatherhood of God. And every time you come into the understanding of this blessedness, of the forgiveness of sin, of this blessedness of a man unto whom God will not impute sin, you enter into kingly dominion. For he refers to David as a king and Abraham as a father. Those are the two major expressions that a believer must experience in the new creation. It's so amazing that when Matthew was talking about the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 21 verse 1, he still referred to him as the son of Abraham and the son of David. Are you aware that there were other powerful people in the genealogy of Jesus, but he picked those two men? Why? The revelation of what he came to do. Their understanding was the testament of what he came to do. Listen, this is the foundation. Why do you think David could run towards Goliath? Why? You think it was because he could throw the sling with skill? No, sir. No, ma. He made a statement that shows us the content of his mind, that shows us his mindset, that shows us what he has on his mind. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Defying the armies of the living God. To this circumcision meant something. To the other people, it was just a tear in the flesh. But for him, I'm a man of covenant. I'm the seed of Abraham. It was upon that But he went after Goliath. He told him, listen, it was a battle of gods, not a battle of skills. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Bible says Goliath calls David by the name of his God. You see, you see Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He brought in circumcision. He brought in circumcision, which was the seal of the Abrahamic covenant. That means David's mind was upon the covenant, not upon his skill in throwing of the sling. Are you with me this morning? Yes, sir. That's where his mind was. That's where his mind was. Why do we have the shout of the king in our midst? Because God has not beheld iniquity in glory zone. He has not seen perverseness in her. God has not beheld iniquity in his people. He has not seen perverseness in her. Are you with me this morning? If you know anything about the children of Israel, it was impossible. That would be the greatest miracle on earth. That nobody misbehaved. Oh, when you saw the next verse, what happened? They went and were mingling. Is it with the Canaanites or something? In the next chapter, chapter 25, you see there. But I'll tell you what happened. Why the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. They lost their formation. They lost their formation. Let me not go ahead of myself. Let me still talk a little about the doctrine of righteousness. God has not beheld. He said, therefore, his presence was among them. He said, therefore, the Lord their God is with them. And the shout of a king, the teruah of the king. That is the shout that brought down the wall of Jericho. He said, the shout of the king is among them. The shout of the king is among them. The shout of a king is among them. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Here was the prophet Balaam, who was promised honor, who was paid, so to say, to curse the children of Israel. Then he stood, and then you say, we can't read the whole of the scriptures. So I will try to read some in the second service. He stood there. Instead of him to curse, he began to bless. Why? In fact, the first question is, what was the problem? Why was it that God could not behold iniquity or see perverseness in Israel? Israel, the stiff-necked people. Why? Why? The Bible says God could not. Why? When Balaam stood to curse them, he couldn't. He had to bless them. Why? The cross. The cross. The cross. Now, give me Numbers 24, 1 to 5. Let me show you something. What Balaam described was what God saw. When God saw it, he could not behold iniquity. When God saw it, he could not see perverseness. Look at this. That's verse 24. Hi. There are many things in between. I will go back there in the second service to show you. That's chapter 24 now. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Why did it please the Lord to bless Israel? Listen, as believers, why are we blessed? Because of what God sees when he sees us. This is why we are blessed though. This talk on some pulpit about the power of the human soul, aside the sacrifice of Jesus, is a waste of time. You know, I used to tell you jokingly that human motivation does not have answers for arrows from the village. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. If you inspire to perspire, you can aspire and acquire. After that, you aspire. Life is deeper than that. Are you listening to me? Life, that is surface. That's good. We can use that to get the attention of unbelievers. But when they come in, we'll have to show them the real thing. The real thing. That listen, in life, time will not permit me to show you. You see, listen to me. Look up at me. When you go to from chapter 22, chapter 23, you see that at every time, Balak was standing beside the sacrifice. That means in life, you will stand beside your sacrifice to make progress. If there's no sacrifice, when you read chapter 22, 23, 24, you will see the mystery of altars and sacrifices. That's all you see there. At least three times. And Balaam and Balak stood by his sacrifice, by his burnt sacrifice, by his burnt offering. He will stand there, and then the eyes of Balaam will be open. Life is a war of altars now. Glory to God. And in the realm of the spirit, there is the law of the highest bidder. We have the highest altar.
Yes, sir.
But if a believer is unserious, the person with a lower altar, lower high priest. Listen, our own shrine is in heaven. What can be higher than that? But you see, an unbeliever with a lower, they have their shrine on the earth. Their priests are where? On the earth. Our own high priest has passed into the heavens. But see, when a believer is unserious, it will look as though the man on the earth who has his altar, his shrine, his high priest on the earth is more powerful. Why? The law of the highest bidder. Revelation. Inside, I told you there's a range of skill sets in handling this thing and floating them into manifestation. He says, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other time, to seek enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Next verse. Look at this. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel. Oh my goodness. Oh God Almighty. You know, he was standing from the east. He lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tent according to their tribes. And then the sight he saw, the spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he began to prophesy. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 5 for me. And he took up a parable. He said, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and the tabernacle of Israel. Now, what Balaam saw was what God saw and could not behold iniquity and sin. Media, are you ready? Do you have the picture? Do you have the picture? There's a picture. Put it up for me. Look at this. Look at this. This was how the children of Israel were arranged in the wilderness. A sign of the cross. Look at this. Judah was to the east. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun were to the east. They had the highest number. Remember, the Bible said Judah shall go first because they were stronger in military might and they had the highest in number. So to the east, you see Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. They were longer. So when he stood here, this was what he saw. This was the tent of meeting and the tribe of Levi. And then to this side, you see Dan, okay, and the other sons of the servant. And then to that side, you see Reuben and the other sons of Leah. And up here, you see the sons of Rachel. You know, Joseph was divided into two, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then Benjamin. Look at them up there. So what he saw when he looked towards the wilderness was the cross. That was what God saw. When God saw the formation of the children of Israel, he saw the cross. He saw Christ crucified. Are you here? And when he saw the cross, he could not see iniquity. When he saw the cross, he could not see perverseness. When he saw the cross, the only thing that could come from was blessings, blessings, blessings. His presence had to abide there. Oh, glory to God. Hi. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. He said, how goodly are thy tents, O Israel. He said, they abided in their tents according to their tribes. When he saw it, the spirit came upon him. He began to prophesy. I told you, Christ is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. This is the foundation for the shout of the king. This is why we have a shout. This is the basis for a shout of victory. When God looked upon them, he could not behold iniquity. Listen, God will never deal with you on the earth on the basis of your works. There's a place for that, and we're going to get into that in second service on next week. But your eyes must be upon the sacrifice of Jesus. Your eyes must be upon the cross of Christ. Your eyes must be. How could the cross be in the wilderness? Because I told you, Christ has always been the standard in every dispensation. Christ pre-existed Jesus. The office of the Christ had been there before Jesus came and entered into the office. Are you here this morning? 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 The righteousness of God is upon us. We have eternal forgiveness. The righteousness of God is upon us. The empowerment of the cross is upon us. When God beholds us, He sees the sacrifice of His Son. When God looks at you because of your faith in Jesus, He sees the accomplishment. He sees the sacrifice of Jesus. He sees the righteousness. The Bible says He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory! Oh, glory! 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 The cross. The cross is our secret. The cross is our empowerment. The cross is our glory. The cross is our strength. The cross is our advantage. The cross is our advantage. The cross is our advantage. If you're a believer in this place, can you say it? Can you say it? The cross. The cross. In your human strength, you can't go anywhere. That's the truth. In your human smartness, you can't go anywhere. Oh, but God sees the cross. God sees the cross. And when He sees the cross, only blessings. When He sees the cross, only blessings. Oh, the Bible says, when Balaam saw that the Lord had only proclaimed blessings upon them. Oh, I thought this place would be filled with speakings in tongues and declarations of God's word. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Malakong Skeliatosa. Oh, the cross. Oh, the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All eyes closed, just bow your heads. If you're here this morning, you've not given your heart to Jesus. Jesus is not yet the Lord of your life. Listen, life has no meaning outside of that. You can never stand before God with your works. No. Come into the faith in Christ. So that when God looks at you, what He sees is a sacrifice of His Son. That is what we preach. Christianity is not human effort. Christianity is not reformation. Christianity is total life transformation. When through the cross of Christ, when you pass through the cross, you don't remain the same. You are here this morning saying, Pastor, pray for me. You are saying, Dr. Caris, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want my sins forgiven right where you are. Just raise your hand. Can everybody stand to their feet? Everybody just stand to your feet. We're closing first service. If you are seated, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. You want me to pray for you? Just raise your hand where you are. Bow your head, everyone. Those of you that want me to pray for you. You want to receive Jesus to your heart. You want your sins forgiven. Just raise your right hand very high where I can see you, and I'll pray for you. Just lift your hand high. Just lift your, God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. Just lift it high. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody can stand before God with his works. No way. We stand before Him holding on to the sacrifice of Jesus. We stand before Him believing in the substitutionary. If you are lifting your hand, lift it high so that somebody can get to you. You want to make it right with God. You want to give your heart to Him. You want to surrender. You want to receive His life and His righteousness. Just lift your hand. I can see another hand up there. Nobody has gotten to Him. Just lift your hand with the card given to you. Lakopa to salakopa. Shalika pronda sushta. Orabadaladosa, orabadaladosa, orabadolodosa, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want those of you that raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody will join them to pray the prayer. Everybody will join them to pray the prayer. So those of you that lift your hands, I want you to pray the prayer, believing in your heart. Believing in your heart, every word that is coming out of your mouth. Say, dear God, can everybody join them to pray the prayer? But please, those of you with your hands lifted, you are praying loud. You can't pray it in your heart. It has to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus, your son, came for me and for me alone. If I were the only one, he would have still come. Today, I believe that that same Jesus died for my sins. He was raised for my justification. And this morning, I stand and I declare that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive righteousness into my heart. I decree that the power of sin and Satan is broken over my life. I'm a new creation. I declare boldly from today that I'm a new creation according to your word. Thank you, Father, for restoring me in Jesus' name. And somebody shout amen. Can you jump and rejoice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Those of you who raised your hand, who prayed.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.